Well, greetings to all of you. It's our first time here, as Mr. White said. Thank you for those kind comments. Americans have to be nice to us Canadians because we're the providers, by far, of most of your oil and natural gas. And you don't like $4 a gallon, right? Anyway, today, on the second great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, I believe, brethren, that for us as God's people, although we enjoy and are excited about all the holy days, this feast is by far the most exciting because of what it portrays. We've just had an election in Canada last year. We have a minority government, which won't be able to accomplish much. You're going to have one yourself shortly. And we can see that our human governments just are unable to function effectively and to solve the problems of our world. But the government of God is going to be so different because it's about God ruling through his people and family, and the government of God alone and only will be able to bring the utopian society of the millennium and on beyond that we all are looking forward to. So there is a powerful prophecy that was originally in the second psalm, but it's in Revelation chapter 2 and the verses 26 and 7, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. It goes this way: "And he that overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." Then it goes on to say, "As a potter's vessel shall they be broken into pieces, the nations." Very interesting word there, because that word for rod is the word rabdos, and it means scepter. And I think you all know what scepter is. Scepter denotes righteous rulership in God's language. So I'm asking today, how do we see this iron rod rule? When I was new in the church, and it's probably true for a lot of us, if not most of us, when I came across this scripture and this prophecy, I thought, yes, when that time comes and people go in there and they start breaking God's laws, it's going to be wham! But of course, it's not that way. It's not that way. And that's what I want to explain today and talk about. It's a very important subject. It's not going to be a stern, heavy-handed rulership meting out quick and sore punishment upon every lawbreaker every time. There are actually three very important points and issues being conveyed to us in that particular verse, in that prophecy of Revelation 2. And they have eternal consequences for all of us. So my question is, just how do you rule with a rod of iron? Because we'll be doing it. So the first point I want to bring today is this, that the establishment of God's law and order rulership over the earth, that's going to take some effort. When Christ returns, the world, as we know, will be in the latter stages of what would soon be total cosmicide. The seventh trumpet sounds, then the seven last plagues follow, and mankind is united, isn't it, to make war against Jesus Christ and the saints with him and all the angels. Do you expect to be there? The Bible says that we will. And it is here that the war to end all wars, the expression we've heard so often in the past, which none of those wars did that, but this one will. The war to end all wars will ensue. Because it says in Revelation 19:19, this: "I saw a beast and the kings of the earth and all their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army," God's army. You know, in science fiction, you see incredible particle beam weapons being fired at solid rock and huge holes coming in the mountains, and they're pulverized. But here, one of the great significant parts of this war to end all wars is that a 200 million men army is vaporized. Can you imagine that in your mind? Dissolved. Part of this war phase includes the seven last plague. When you look at that, you see that we have an earthquake that's right off the Richter scale, which runs at 10, doesn't it? Maybe 20 if it were possible on the Richter scale. A worldwide earthquake that shatters all remaining cities, buries islands, and reshapes mountain chains. Those are some of the tremendous events that are going to occur as Christ and his army with him begins to assume control of this world. And finally, this big one, beaming Satan and his millions of demons out and away from any influence on mankind. Surely, brethren, this act will be one that is the capstone to end the war phase. Once this war phase is over and the nations are subdued, let's go to the second point of this prophecy. Once we see Jesus Christ ruling, we can see the real and permanent thrust of iron rod rule. What we will see first and foremost is no compromise ever with the law of God. That is a vital and ongoing part of ruling with a rod of iron. The law of God will always be abided by. When it says, the nations shall be shattered to pieces like a pot of clay. Once a pot of clay is smashed, say you drop it from the third floor onto a street and it's into 2,000 pieces, it can never, ever be a pot again. And the significance of that is that never again will human governments be allowed. The government of God will be supreme and constant. However, we see mercy with perfect justice, because God is a just God, and having much loving patience. That will be the main thrust, brethren, of the government of God, to teach in love until the message is received and understood and finally lived by. Iron rod rule. I think you're all familiar with the scripture that says, you know, when something is happening, suddenly a voice is heard behind that person. This is the way, walk you in it. That is going to be very, very effective to steer people in a nice way, to abide by God's law and way of peace. So what it is we see here is gentleness, the rod of iron, really, blended with just the right amount of firmness, but always within God's perfect law of liberty. The third and last point I want to raise to do with this prophecy and actually with this chapter is this. Because God repeats it four times when he says this, he who has an ear to hear what the scripture says to the churches, he who overcomes and keeps my works to the end. You notice that? Not just overcomers, but you have to keep that up right to the very end. To him or to her will I give power over the nations. So Revelation, the second chapter, absolutely contains the promises of great reward and tremendous responsibilities, but only to those who overcome and to those who stay true to the very end. It says in Revelation 21:7 that he that overcomes shall inherit all things, brethren, even to the parts of the universe that Jesus Christ decides upon at that time. So in conclusion, we see that after the war phase of this rod of iron prophecy, we see that ruling with a rod of iron is going to be teaching, helping, serving, ruling in the education and preparation of further billions of our fellow man for their later inheritance of the glories of the kingdom of God. The iron rod rule is indeed, brethren, the perfect government for bringing into God's great family those billions. So your responsibility and mine, all of us, young or old, right now, is to be doing God's work and see to it that we do things that God tells us right to the very end. Christ shares his kingdom and limitless glories with the overcomers who keep his works to the end. Those having learned to rule with God's rod of iron that will serve, never compromising with the law of God, but will embody in their ruling great mercy and great patience and gentleness and love as God is extending to each of us right now. Now, that is a rod of iron that I think we will all enjoy ruling by.
Well, thank you, Mr. Shepherd. I'm hesitating because we have some electronics here that have to be reconnected, and I don't know any jokes. or they never come at the right time, usually in the middle of a sermon where they should not appear. Boom, there they are. Marquee size, you know, wall to wall. But anyway, sometimes it just being here is laughable enough, you know, whatever. And how are we doing, Coach? It'll be a minute. Well, Mr. King, it pays to have a joke in your pocket. What? Of course, you notice the scenery is the Oregon coast. Brings back fond memories because Connie and I did make a trip to the Oregon coast one time, and the sunsets there are beautiful. And this won't be a short sermonette on marriage or anything, but it was lovely, and we have always remembered it. So if you ever get a chance, and I don't know, she still wants to go to the coast, even in the middle of winter, and I said, it's cold, and it's rainy, and there's fog. She don't care. She just wants to put her feet in that cold Pacific Ocean, okay? And if that makes her happy, it's cheaper than a new car. Well, that doesn't happen too often either. Oh, boy. Well, we could sing a cappella.
There we go.
Oh, he fixed it. Page 5-4. Okay. Now this, would you all rise? Now, this particular hymn, I think, accentuates pretty well the sermonette that we just heard. The Lord eternal reigns, so let's look at the words and sing them with our heart, okay?
Like wax.
much. And thank you for laughing at my offhanded joke. All right. Now, once again, to bring us the necessary announcements and to introduce the balances of the services, Mr. Rex Sexton.
Well, a warmer good morning to everyone. I say that because it's a little warmer in here today than it was yesterday. I wanted to begin this morning by not only welcoming everyone, but to say that we are working on the heating system. The challenge of the heat and cold in this building seems to be a perpetual ongoing issue. We are working with the fairgrounds people. Mr. Richards has spent quite a bit of time with them. They sort of get their computers set, and then they have several things that happen that are uncontrollable. And one of them is that there's a CO2 sensor. Apparently there are rules that say the oxygen and CO2 has to be balanced in a room of this size with this many people. And so when all of us exhale too much CO2 is determined, and there's a fan outside that brings in outside air. Now, the only problem is it's not heated when they bring it in. And so, one of the places it comes in is right over ministerial seating. So most of us had icicles hanging on us yesterday, and I was frozen to my chair for a while. But we have talked to them. They are working on the system. The only other option is to ask everyone not to exhale. So if you'd like to volunteer to not do that to help with the heating system, you're more than welcome to, but that might not be a good option. But they have said they will turn up the heating system, do all they can to keep it warm for us. Just as a personal note, my mother is 85. I went back to Illinois 2 weekends ago to celebrate her 85th birthday with my brother and some other family members. When my mom turned about 80, she began to start thinking about giving away her personal possessions. And as with many of the World War II Depression generation, she had a few things like, rings and whatever. Well, she was going to offered to give away her mink coat to my wife. And Patty said, well, where we live, it almost never freezes. We get a few frosts, but we never get down to zero anymore. We don't live in Alaska. So I can't think of a time when I would wear that to keep warm, except at the Feast of Tabernacles in Bend when we're sitting in the ministerial section. Then she could use it. So if she shows up with a big, heavy fur coat next year, it looks like something out of the 1920s, then you'll know what happened. Festival greetings from the Bahamas. Greetings to all of you keeping the feast in Central Oregon. I should ask for a show of hands as to how many would know who sent this message to us, but I won't. We miss you all and look forward to seeing you next year. In the meantime, we are having a very restful time here in the Bahamas. I won't elaborate on conditions except to say that it's a different kind of paradise than Central Oregon. We wish you all a great feast and hope to see you next year in 2009. That's from Larry and Karen Walker. Parents of small children who are in the youth classes should pick up their children at the classrooms at the end of the announcement period. So today was the first morning of the youth instruction for the kids. I know the teachers have worked very hard on it and a lot of preparation, so it should be a very enjoyable time, but be sure and pick up your children at the end of the announcement period. In fact, probably just right after special. Well, we'll see. If they come out at the end of announcements, that'd be great. We don't want a lot of back and forth going on during the special music. Make sure there's an announcement for the business hours. The business hours are 1 hour before and 1 hour after services for the business office. If you have any need at the business office, please come during that time. Also, tomorrow is our family day. We have a very nice family day planned. Very good information about that in the bulletin. Please refer to that. Mr. DeMore asked me to please also mention that we have the concessionaires there have purchased beef or turkey hot dogs just for us, and they also have hamburgers, hot wings, other things. So that's at the Sun Mountain Fun Center at the Riverbend Mall in, I think that's over down in Bend. So the information is in the bulletin. It should be a lot of fun tomorrow for Family Day. Card signing. Today is the last day to sign cards for the shut-ins. They'll be available for 1/2 hour after services, and we will mail them to the people who will be receiving them tomorrow. There's also a local area food drive. Once again, we are hosting a food drive for the Bend-Redmond community. This is one way we can give back to the area that has welcomed us so warmly for years. Non-perishable food items and household items are appreciated. Recommended items are cereal, peanut butter, pasta, canned goods, shampoo, soap, toothpaste, etc. If you wish to help collect the items, there will be, after services, see Jason or Laura Evans in the information area. Okay, tomorrow, Thursday, is our family dance evening. It's always a highlight of the feast to have the dance, and it's going to be over in the South Sister area. Everyone is invited to join the fun, beginning at 7 o'clock and lasting until 10. Dress is nice or smart casual. We will also have a karaoke machine available for those who would like to sing a song while we dance to it. We're not going to stop the dance to have performances necessarily, but if you'd like to sing a song we can all dance to, we do have some pretty good CDs, and the karaoke machine always adds to the evening. So it should be a lot of fun tomorrow night for the family dance. Okay, from the holiday offering yesterday, we had an attendance of 945, very good attendance. A total offering of about $46,500, just about $49 and something per person. So I really want to thank you for that on behalf of Jesus Christ, but also on behalf of the United Church of God. The money, I can guarantee you, will go to a very efficient spending and expenses for God's work and preaching the gospel in this time when the world needs it very desperately. Today is a teen activity. Very beautiful day. Notice the sunshine, the nice crisp weather. I just love these kind of cold mornings, and you know it's going to get up and be real comfortable during the day and sunny. The activity today for the teens is a hike at Smith Rock State Park. It's a geologic wonderland with a dramatic example of the forces of volcanoes, lava, and running water. They have some very nice, well-maintained trails, so the hike is very safe. There are some people there that will be going up these very steep cliffs of rocks with their ropes, and some who don't use ropes, like a certain daughter I know of who sends her mother into tizzies with these pictures of her hanging off these cliffs way above the water in remote places of the world, and I've informed her she's not to do that where her mother can see her. I can only deal with one crisis a day, so that's not allowed to have any more crises this year. But the hike is beautiful, and everybody will enjoy it very much. Meet at 1:45 at the parking area right here in the fairgrounds. We will carpool to Smith Rock State Park, which is about 10 miles north of Redmond. Just go up to Tumalo. There's a sign there, Smith Rock State Park. You turn right, and you go down, and I think there's another turn to the left, and then you go down and another little turn to the left, and it's the second parking area where we're going to park. Some volunteer cars are needed. If any parents would like to go, you're certainly more than welcome to go. It's a beautiful state park, and you would enjoy the time there. Be sure those who are coming, all the teens, bring $1 for parking. There is a $3 per car parking fee, and afterwards we'll need some money for pizza and drinks. So after the hike at the park, please also bring some drinking water and some snacks. There are no concessions available there. We'll be going over to a pizza parlor. Actually, it's the Papa's Pizza, which is on Route 97, just south of the Walmart and north of old downtown Redmond. We should be finished by about 6 p.m., so the teens will be done about 6 p.m. at Papa's Pizza. Okay, children's choir practice. There will be children's choir practice today, immediately after services in the classrooms on the south side of the far side of the South Sister. It's a Tumalo room and I believe the Sparks room. Now, those two rooms are connected by a movable accordion wall, so we're going to open the wall up. And that's where the practice will be today for all of the youth choir members right after church. Please bring your children and also the volunteers who want to help. And that should last a little while. Mrs. Amy is handling that. One gentle reminder, no food or drink in the main hall in the carpeted areas. That's one of the rules of the area here. The South Sister with the hard floor is where the food and drink are supposed to be confined. That's all the announcements for today. Now for special music. I very much appreciate the work that all the musicians have done. This feast has already added a great deal. And I know it's a lot of work ahead of time, but it adds so much to the feast. Special music will be a tenor solo performed for us this morning by Mr. Brian DeMore, singing The Holy City. The music's by Stephen Adams, words by F.E. Weatherly, with an accompaniment on the CD. And after the special music, the sermon this morning will be brought to us by the pastor of the Boise, Idaho, and several other places, churches, Mr. Steve Knutsman. And on a personal level, I might mention how much we've enjoyed Mr. Knutsman being here with us in the Northwest. The Northwest ministry is sort of tight-knit. When other men come and visit for camp at Davidson or something, they say, boy, you guys in the Northwest, you're kind of like a family out here. You all like each other. You're good friends. You know, you get together. And And it's just a little more of a tight-knit group than any ministry I've ever been in. I think part of the reason, I'll be honest with you, is because we have Mr. Denny Luker for our regional director, and we've really, all of us have come to love the Lukers very much, and when they retire next June, I'm going to feel a little bit emotional about it. Plus, we have Mr. Dick, but I just want to say that Mr. Newsman has fit in very well. He has been a wonderful addition to the Northwest. He's done a fabulous job directing Camp Davidson, and I know you'll all enjoy hearing from him this morning. So before that, the special music, The Holy City.